In today's gospel, Christ shows Thomas his great mercy. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm sure some of you remember, probably in high school English class, how a teacher who had a bad day would make you remember lines of Shakespeare. You know, that was not fun, the way Shakespeare wrote things. But some of those lines are very beautiful and important. For example, in the play The Merchant of Venice, one of the main characters is Portia. And Portia, at one point, is pleading for mercy for somebody. And remember the wonderful speech she gives. "The quality of mercy is not strained. It is not measured out. It falls like the gentle rain from the heavens." See what she's saying? Mercy is not something you measure out bit by bit. You don't strain it. It's generous. It overflows. Then she says later on, "It is an attribute of God, and we are most like him when our justice is seasoned by mercy." See what she's saying again? Justice, what people deserve, what they have a right to, what they earn, that's one thing. But mercy is what people have no right to, what they can't claim that they've earned. It's given to them generously, freely, because they need it. She said, we're like God when we season our justice with mercy. Important to look at that and understand that, because today we celebrate in the church Divine Mercy Sunday, when we rejoice in the mercy that God gives us in Christ, mercy that is always ours, there for the asking. All we have to do is come, seek, and it will be given to us. Now, I've never bothered to count up the number of times in the Scripture, in the Gospel, that Christ talks about mercy, the mercy of God. But it's probably one of his most important, frequent themes. I mean, just think, the parable of the prodigal son. The father receives the son back in spite of what he did. The man lowered down through the roof to receive God's forgiveness. The woman caught in adultery, and so forth and so on, over and over again. In his last moments on the cross, what does Christ say in his last moments on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or again on the cross, to the good thief, today I say you will be with me in paradise. God's mercy given to us freely. What a wonderful gift. Not because we earn it, not out of justice, out of benevolence, out of mercy. Now the one thing that God asks of us in response to that we be merciful with one another. Not because people deserve it, not because they earn it, but because they need it. They need our mercy and forgiveness and help and attention. Remember the one thing that Jesus is upset at in one of the stories he tells. Remember the story he tells about the servant who owed a great debt to his master, and the master forgave him the debt. And he goes out and won't forgive the debt of this, leave this tiny little small debt for one of his fellow servants. How angry that makes Jesus. He says to us, if you live in a world where you don't give mercy, the mercy you've already received from God, what? What have you understood about God's mercy then? You know, we live in a world, unfortunately, where too often payback, retribution, seeking out your enemies, punishing your enemies, that's the way we live. That's not the way it is in the kingdom of God, though. Not supposed to be that way. We can't be agents of vengeance. We have to be agents of mercy. You know, in the wonderful play Fiddler on the Roof, remember the main character is Tevye. One day Tevye is having a discussion with somebody, and this other person says to him, well, you know what it says in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Tevye says, well, yes, but if we all practice that, the whole world would be blind and toothless. If we all practice that, the whole world would be blind and toothless. That's not the world God wants. Let us take the mercy we have received and continue to receive. Be sure we're agents of mercy so that we won't live in a world where everybody's blind and toothless. I want to take a few moments this morning, bring you up to date on the renovation of our worship space, which will begin in the near future. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago that all of the updating of our building has been done over the last few years as part of our capital fund drive and campaign, except for the worship space. This is the 25th anniversary of our new church, our new facility. Nothing has been done in here really for 25 years, so now is the time. We've had a wonderful parish committee that's been working with me and with a church architect and decorator for the last 6 months. Now we're ready pretty much to begin the project. Within the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks, we'll begin. It's going to involve total repainting of the church from the ceiling to the floor. Gathering space, worship space, Eucharistic chapel, sacristies, everything will be repainted. The whole church will be recarpeted again, not under the pews. Under the pews, we've been told the carpeting is still very, very good, but the aisles and stairs, all in the gathering space as well, all will be recarpeted. And then we have a few little decorative touches that the committee has recommended, which I think will add to the beauty of the church. For example, in back of our cross, our wonderful, beautiful crucifix, and the statue of St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother, back of those statues, we're going to put stonework, some beautiful stonework to help emphasize the beauty of those objects. Also, you notice our litany of St. Joseph up here on the top of the church. You know, it's not easy to read that, especially at night. So the recommendation that we've agreed to is this. We're going to take that litany and put it instead on the big white border all around the church, so it'll stand out much better than it does there. We're also going to add to the Stations of the Cross a description of what those stations are. So, for example, the first station over here, in decorative printing next to it, will read the agony in the garden, and so forth, all the way around, okay, for those particular stations. Another thing, you see these big things here, these big false windows, so to speak, that's where the organ speakers are, just kind of there. So what we're going to do is cut those down a little bit and put a grate over them, a grill over them, that will be decorated with lilies, St. Joseph lilies, okay? And then finally, one of the final things is that if you look at our baptismal font, you'll note not only is a tile around it coming up, but the font itself is splitting apart, starting to split apart. We're going to have a brand new baptismal font. It'll be made out of one solid piece of granite that will match the granite of the altar and the ambo in a cruciform shape on a wooden base that will match the pews. And I think it will be a very beautiful addition to our worship space. So all of this will take place starting in a couple of weeks, all of which means we've got to move having Mass from here in the church into the church hall. We're going to begin making that move actually right after this Mass today. So when you come to Mass next week, Masses will begin from that point on in the church hall. Now we're setting the hall up as a permanent chapel. We have a platform in there for a sanctuary. We'll decorate it. We're bringing the sound system into the hall. We'll decorate and make it as beautiful as we can. So you'll enter the church the same way you've done right now, but just go into the hall instead. Now again, obviously it's a church hall. We're going to have some inconveniences, some things that won't be quite as good as we'd like them to be, but I know you'll roll with the punches with us during that period of time. It's going to take about 2 to 3 months for everything to be done. We hope to be moved back into the church by the beginning or the middle of September, everything going well. Now, of course, because of that, no more coffee and donuts. I know especially for the children, that's a big deal, but, you know, life is hard, you know. So starting today, and because we're moving today, and until the fall, there'll be no coffee and donuts. Did I forget anything? I don't think so. I might have forgotten something. I know. Okay, yeah, we're going to set up a little area down in one of the classrooms down the hallway here for confessions. We set up the same way as the confessional is set up, but in one of the classrooms. We will have a tabernacle on that sanctuary, on the altar in the hall. People can come into church there and pray like you normally do. So it'll be set up really as a church, but in a permanent basis, so to speak, until the fall. So we'll invite you to look at the board set up in the gathering space on your way out so you can see what everything's going to kind of look like a bit. And hopefully it will be all for the greater glory of God. God bless you.